You've got the home of the truth. Back to the bald-faced truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
It's Friday. We're in the 5 o'clock hour. This is the happy hour. Super Bowl coming up on Sunday. Might be doing some ribs for the Super Bowl. Maybe some pasta on the side. Obviously, we're going to have the chips and the dip and seven layer, all that stuff. Matt Prehm, 24/7 Sports, covers the University of Oregon, among other things, is joining us. You are the grill master, Matt. Tell me what you're cooking for the Super Bowl.
That is currently TBA. I'm not very excited or happy about that. I got invited to go to a friend's house. I'm fired up to go. I'm one of my good friends. Always has good food. But I'm still waiting for the menu so I can know what I need to make. So up in the air. Might be ribs. Might be some pulled pork. Might be some burnt ends. I don't know yet. We'll find out here in about probably 24 hours.
Yes to all. All right. How about that? give me an idea. When you say you're waiting for the menu, what do you need? Like, let's just say I'm that friend and I've invited you over. Let's have this conversation. Matt, what else do you need to know?
I need to know if I need to bring a side dish or a main dish.
I'm counting on you for a main dish because I know you can bring a main dish. I'm expecting you to be at Costco buying one of those shoulders, pork shoulders we've talked about. Falling off, just falling apart when you arrive.
Maybe some tri-tip. We'll see.
All right. Good stuff, man. Who do you like in the game before we get to the other stuff?
You know, apparently in my household, this isn't a popular opinion.
Okay.
Chiefs. Everyone seems to be a Chiefs fan 2 years ago. I like teams that are really good. Both actually are. But we don't see three-peats very often. And I know everyone's seen the Chiefs win two in a row, and everyone's kind of tired of them winning and finding ways to win. But I kind of gravitate towards, like, hey, I want to see, like, everyone's rooting for the really good team to lose. I want them to win. So I'm zigging when everyone's zagging, so I'm taking the Chiefs.
Matt Prehm, 24/7 Sports, taking the Chiefs. He likes Patrick Mahomes. He's not dumb. I'm picking the Eagles, but I'm deathly afraid that Mahomes is going to spoil that. And I'm on the other side of that because I say he's had his fun, so I know what your kids are talking about. Matt, let's talk about what's going on with Oregon. Oregon basketball, Dana Altman, I invited him on the show. The school's SID said, let's give him another week. It hasn't gone well lately. Four losses in a row. What is going on with that basketball team?
Well, they are kind of the victim of their own success. They opened the year 9-0 with two wins over ranked teams, Texas A&M, Alabama. They also, in between those two, had a really nice win over San Diego State. And they catapulted from being unranked after that time in Vegas to being in the top 15. And then they've hovered around the top 15 for the next 6 weeks. They even cracked the top 10. They were 12-1 at one point, the only loss being a banked three-pointer by UCLA with 1 second left. And so you could legitimately argue they probably could have been 13-0. And that was a time when their metrics still are, but at the time were really good. And that's where you saw some of these really early projections saying, hey, Oregon 2 seed, hey, Oregon, they could potentially be a 1 seed. And I tried to say it on our podcast on duckterritory.com. I tried to say it in my writing and on our message boards, on social media. Like, the numbers are really good. Their metrics are good. But if you watch them, you know, they weren't that good. And I think they played above their weight for a little bit early on in the season. They were overrated, but they're being a victim of their own success now. And they're playing tougher teams. The Big Ten is rigorous. We are quickly learning that out. And they've now lost four of their last five. They've lost four in a row. And their only win is against a last-place Washington team by 11 points at home. They lost by 7 to Purdue. They lost by 8 at Minnesota. That's a bad loss. They were embarrassed at UCLA by 26 points. They lost at home to Nebraska. That's another bad loss. And then they lost by 4 in a really competitive game against Michigan. And now they play Michigan State. And they're playing back to – the averages are starting to even out here a little bit. The percentages are falling back into where this team is at. But unfortunately, you know, expectations were raised mid-year because of their hot start. And they're being held to that. And they're not living up to the billing.
I am looking at tomorrow's game at Michigan State. They're not likely to win that game, but after that, they get back home, and there's some winnable games back home with Northwestern and Rutgers coming to town, and certainly down the stretch, USC, that'll be a big one, Indiana at home, at Washington, at Wisconsin. There's some time here for this team to kind of pull it out, and Dana Ullman always seems to do that. I'm a little worried, Matt, about his mindset, and I think part of why he didn't want to come on the show is I think he might be afraid of what he's going to say about his team if he comes on the show. So tell me, you've been around him. Where's his head right now?
He's probably frustrated with the defense first and foremost. You know, he always talks about if you hold an opponent under 70 points, their offense, game in, game out, should be good enough to score 70 and to win. And if they scored 70 and held their opponent, you know, alone, you know, they still don't win any of the last 5-6 games because their defense isn't playing well enough. And they haven't played well defensively since Purdue, which was in the middle of January. When, granted, Purdue, they are an elite offensive team. They have an All-American at guard. They've got a really good big man. They are well coached. They are as efficient of an offense as they can possibly be in college basketball. And Oregon held them to 65 points. And Dana, after that game, was really pleased with how well they played defensively. That one was a game where the shot selection was terrible. This is not an Oregon team. It's an elite three-point shooting team. So, and they shot too many threes in that game. But I think if you go back and you look at the last four games, he's going to talk about the lack of defensive execution, the lack of rebounding, giving up second chance opportunities. And in the most recent one against Michigan, it's the turnovers. And they only had 13 against Michigan. That's not an alarming, obscene number where you're like, oh my gosh, this is actually horrible. But it was Michigan turning those into 25 points. And it was Michigan and all of those turnovers coming at the worst opportune time. And a lot of them were unforced turnovers by Michigan, you know, by Oregon. It was simply just a guy cutting and the guy with the ball not expecting him to be cutting and passing it where he was. And it just goes out of bounds. And those are mind-numbing turnovers for a coach in the middle of February when you should be connected. And this team is a veteran team. They are connected. We've seen it early on this season. And then, you know, so first of all, it's the defense, it's the rebounding, it's the turnovers, and it's the shot selection the last couple of weeks. They started to get better here the last couple games. The number of threes haven't been taken as often as they have been. Purdue, it was terrible. They shot like 15% on threes, and they shot over 25. Against UCLA, they did the same thing. And it was the wrong guys taking threes. They have good three-point shooters on this team. They have multiple guys. Jackson Shelstead, Keyshawn Barthelemy are the two biggest ones. Barthelemy shoots over 40%. Shelstead, after a really torrid, terrible start to the start of the year, has gotten his number all the way up to 37%. In conference play, it's even higher. And then Brandon Angel is a 39% three-point shooter. They've got guys that can shoot threes. But what's really been the issue is it's the other ones on the team. It's the Nate Biddles, it's the TJ Bombas, it's the Keyshawn Barthelemy's shooting threes when they should not be. And that shot selection has derailed the offense. And it's made them one-dimensional. And some guys' numbers are so bad that Oregon's opponents aren't even guarding guys, and they're clogging the lane where Nate Biddle used to be doing a lot of good work, and now he can't because he's facing what feels like triple teams, but it's just teams just not respecting shooters and daring them to shoot, and Oregon's obliging.
I am talking with Matt Prehm, 24/7 Sports, covers Oregon Ducks football, basketball, and Matt, the Biddle and Shellstad duo is good enough for this team to play. Like, I thought, could they be a Sweet 16 team, right? And, you know, Nate and Dana Altman is the coach. What else do they need? What needs to change here in the last, you know, six or seven games of the regular season and the conference tournament for Oregon to be a dangerous team? And we've seen Dana Altman do this, but what's the switch that needs to flip?
I sound probably very doom and gloom with a team at 16-7, and they've got a really good, they've got 8 quad wins. I think that's still second most in the country. So all is not lost for this team. The Big Ten as a conference is deep enough where if Oregon can get hot, even after tomorrow, like if, let's just assume for a second, I don't think they're going to win tomorrow. Let's just assume that's a loss. Even if they make a stretch run in their final 7 games and they go 5-2, that's going to be good enough for them to climb out of this little slump that they're in and claim a 6 seed or a 5 seed and play out west, play in Seattle. And that's a huge bonus for any team, especially Oregon. To do that, though, they need Shellstead and Biddle to play consistent basketball on both ends of the floor. Shellstead being a creator and a scorer, Biddle being a low post scoring threat, and then protecting the rim defensively. They both seem to have kind of gotten out of their funks the last couple of games. That's a positive sign. And then from there, it's you need an established third guy to be a go-to player for you. And the most likely candidates are going to be 2 seniors, Brandon Angel at power forward, TJ Bamba at shooting guard. And I think for Bamba in particular, he needs to realize you're not a three-point shooter. Your percentages aren't very good this season, but you are the team's best player at getting downhill, attacking the rim, generating contact, generating fouls, getting free throw opportunities, finishing through those fouls for and-one opportunities. You are by far the best player on the team in that regard. You are a 6'5", 220-pound linebacker playing basketball, very athletic. And embrace who you are. Don't try and be a three-point shooter. I think Oregon's kind of gotten his mindset back into that mode where he was earlier in the year. Very sporadic three-point shooter, but a guy that was willing to get downhill. And then if they can get that out of him consistently, that's going to be a positive because he's going to draw fouls. That's going to create the ticky-tack fouls on front court opportunities on a Shellstead who's trying to get through a press to all of a sudden now shoot free throws, one-on-one opportunities. And then it's Brandon Angel, who was college basketball's most efficient player offensively last season. I think he's kind of taken a little bit of a step back this year. He's not been as assertive as he was at Stanford. Get that assertiveness back. Drive the lane. He's an elite free throw shooter. Get free throw opportunities. Play physical. Be a sound offensive rebounder, which he's really good at. Get those two guys going, and if you can get consistently one of them every night to give you 13, 12 points a game, all of a sudden you've got the three-headed monster. Because unlike last year, I don't think Shellstead and I don't think Biddle are good enough to say, get on our shoulders. All you guys got to do is just play defense. We'll do the rest, like Dante and Cousinard did last season to get them into the NCAA tournament to win a game and then to almost beat Creighton. I don't think Shellstead and Biddle are that type of a player. So they need help, and it's finding the established help there.
Matt, the Altman question that comes up at the end of seasons, always depending on the mood he is how many more years. Do you have a sense with Dana Altman, could this be it? Does he want more? Is that to be determined? You tell me.
I'd be surprised if he retired. I'd be surprised if he left Oregon. He is in a he's in a perfect position here at Oregon, and he's talked at length. I asked him last year when the rumors popped up again mid-year, and he was very quick to shut it down. He was very upset about those rumors going around, and people were talking about how he could potentially leave. I think ESPN ran a story that said he was going to be on one of the lists of schools to watch that from a retirement standpoint. I think the Big Ten has presented a new challenge for him. So he's fully committed to my understanding. He's talked multiple times with us in the media about him trying to adapt to the new age of college athletics and the NIL aspect of that. And he's embracing the challenge and trying to find, it's something new to him. And I think he still wants to be coaching. So I would be surprised if he leaves. And to be honest, like he has a really good position here at Oregon because, yes, the fan base right now is engaged and they're happy. They're not happy with where they're at. But Oregon is a football school, and he has just enough attention on him every now and then of what's this team doing or how are they handling it things. But this isn't like an Indiana. This isn't like a Kansas or a North Carolina or a Michigan State where it's a basketball school. Dana can go and do whatever he wants in the summertime. He doesn't have a lot of commitments from a media perspective. The expectations at Oregon are be successful. Get us to the tournament every couple of years for 1 or 2 years in a row, and then you maybe get a fallback year, and then you get back again for 2 or 3 years in a row. He's well-paid. Rob Mullins is a good AD, and the program has their opportunities to be successful. And, I have a hard time seeing him walking away from this. Now, maybe if the seasons continue to dwindle and the winning seasons continue to dwindle and they struggle to fight to get to 20 wins every year, and, maybe that 2 or 3 years in a row, maybe. But and I know that just kind of happened a couple years ago, but the injuries were so bad in 21, 22, 22, 23, and then last year. Like, I really don't even consider, especially the 2022-23 season, like a counting year on his clock just because of how bad the injuries were, and no coach could overcome those things. So I don't anticipate him walking away for a while unless Oregon – for some crazy, ludicrous reason, tells him to, and I don't think they should ever do that.
Give us Matt Prehm's Traeger Super Bowl tip. If you're cooking on a Traeger, give us one little pro tip.
Prep tomorrow. You do not want to be heading to the store. You do not want to be getting up super early in the morning and then prepping all of your food. If you're going to like a brisket, like typically what I'll do is I'll clean out a space in the garage fridge and I'll go and get a brisket. I'll clean it all up. I will trim all the fat off, slice it up so it's all uniform shaped and whatnot. And then I'll season it and I'll let it sit in the fridge, covered up with some Saran wrap overnight. So all I got to do is whenever I want to start it, get up, prep the Traeger and throw the meat in. Prepping is going to be a huge time saver, especially when, you got kid stuff going on in the morning. Yep. And you've got a whole bunch of other things going on. It's going to be, I think, a sunny day. So you're probably going to get some yard work done or some other things around the house before you go to the party, or you're getting your house ready for the party at your place. And the last thing you want to be worrying about is, oh, we don't have such and such, so I need to run to the store, or we need to prep the food, and it's going to take a while, and craziness is going on around you. So prep tomorrow.
What are you seasoning that brisket with?
I like Meat Church, or I sometimes just take a very simple mix that I do myself. That's part garlic, part onion, and salt and pepper. It doesn't take much for brisket. I mean, you can get away with very simple things. And I guess another one is, like, it's such a big piece of meat that you're going to sit here and think, oh, I just put a ton on. I'm probably over-seasoning it. No, like,
you can't do it.
You got to, like, triple the amount you think you're going to be putting on there just because it's such a big piece.
All right. And you're cooking it all day, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. Like, I'll get up around 7 a.m., 6 a.m. to start. So especially if you want to have it like at 4 or 5 o'clock. Yeah, you need to get up early.
All right, Matt, good luck to you, man. Thank you for joining us as always.
Yeah, you too.
All right, good stuff. Good stuff on the cooking front. Good stuff on the basketball front. Got some people who have called in, want to talk about the Ducks basketball team. Larry is in Eugene. Larry, what's on your mind?
Yeah, so I'll just try to make it quick. Dana Ullman is going to be a Hall of Fame coach, but I think we need a Lanning type of basketball coach at this point. And in recruiting, he's Kwame Evans, Mookie Cooks are very good recruits. They haven't, in fact, they've gone downhill.
Yeah.
And it's very obvious. You don't have Kwame KJ driving to the hoop every time and trying to make a lay-in. He's as smooth as silk Keith Wilkes. You stop and pop. You know, it's just really fundamental things. You got to play, you got to mix in zone defense, because all the other teams do is they have our guys switchmen. They've got the mismatch, and we don't have the defensive players. I mean, Biddle's a shot blocker, but he's not a big, tough player. And he goes for rebounds with one hand, one arm. These things are obvious. I don't know how they can't see it. And you got to shoot the threes. When they're wide open, you got to shoot the threes. You got to make them.
Yeah. You hit on something. Larry hit on something with the energy. And Altman has talked about that at different times. And, you know, I thought at the end of last year, you know, he's bringing Stubblefield back into the program. Tony Stubblefield, the assistant coach. I thought that would manifest itself in some more dynamic players on the roster. Maybe it was too fast. I don't know. But I'd love to talk with Altman, and we'll get him on the show. I was told to wait and re-request him next week, perhaps after a win. Leave it here. What's on tap this weekend? The Super Bowl and what else?